to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show today. It's Friday, Pauhana Friday, the end of another really crazy, wild week here. Another weekend coming up. A lot of people trying to grab these last few weekends of summer before the school season starts. And I don't know where it starts in your part of the country. It's only a couple of weeks left of kids' summer vacation here. So everybody's getting out and having fun and stuff like that. Okay, our chat room is open. The webcam is running. All systems are go, and we are rock and roll full tilt boogie for truth, justice, and what we used to call the American way. Our phone lines are open, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Donovan is in the control room, twiddling the dials, one hand hovering over the delay, the other over the telephone, waiting to answer that phone, put you right on the air with anything you want to talk about. Okay, let's start off today. As we normally do, we kind of let it slip over the last couple of days, but I want to go back and talk a little bit about the economy, because they're pushing this whole idea that the economy is turning around and the Federal Reserve ought to be left alone the way it is. Some of the Federal Reserve's supporters are circulating a petition saying the government shouldn't touch it, the government should allow the Federal Reserve to reign supreme over all of us. And I think I think this is an indication that the Federal Reserve understands that public opinion has turned against them. Certainly the support for Ron Paul's audit the Fed bill is sending a very stern message to the Federal Reserve. The talk about maybe it's time to abandon the Federal Reserve completely and go back to the monetary system this country started with has to be making them worried as well. These are people who have grown up since 1913. They have lived in a world of economic parasitism upon the American people. They don't know any other way. And the idea that this might all just sort of dissolve because we, the American people, don't want to go along with it anymore, that's quite frightening to them, which is why we have people like Bernanke going over to Congress and, in so many words, threatening the U.S. government with a total economic collapse if the U.S. government dares audit the Federal Reserve to find out where all the true wealth of this country has gone to. And I think the more that Bernanke and the rest of them are resisting any kind of oversight of the Federal Reserve and auditing of the books, I think the more urgent it becomes that we need at least an audit, if not an outright, revoke the charter, revoke the Federal Reserve Act. Just shut it all down and say, this was a bad idea. This was a mistake. And for the exact same reason, the two previous attempts at central banks were a mistake. And it's time to say, okay, enough is enough. They couldn't make it work. They couldn't make it work. All it does is create debt and poverty for the people, which is what it's designed to do. We all know that from history. So enough is enough. And I think it's time for the American people, I mean, even those who still actually have any money in their pockets, it's time to simply stop cooperating with the Federal Reserve System. Find some other means of exchange among yourselves. Find some other means of conducting your commerce and business, and just leave the Federal Reserve out of your lives. Leave the banks out of your lives. They're not there to do you any favors. They're there to take care of themselves. Now, that being said, we may be in for one heck of a roller coaster week next week, because there is a new Treasury auction schedule out where they are having to auction off their debt to try and raise money. They do this every once in a while. And up until now, buying these Treasury debt instruments was considered a good investment. They mature over 20 to 30 years. Remember, savings bonds and all that sort of situation. And it was considered a good investment because Americans were always getting richer. Real estate was always going up. American productivity was always on the increase. And those suckers, I mean the taxpayers, could always be counted on to make good on any debts that the U.S. government ran up. Until we cross that magic point where the government is simply spending it faster than we, the American people, could ever possibly earn it. And so over the next week, the U.S. Treasury is trying to auction off $235 billion. That's almost a quarter of a trillion dollars they have to find buyers for over the next week. And if they can't, things are going to start really, really unraveling. Okay, so that's going to be definitely, definitely worth watching what's going on. Now, over the last week, here on the What Really Happened radio show and on the website, we have been talking about high-frequency program trading, these computer systems. We recapped how in the 1980s, these computer-driven investment systems almost wrecked the stock market. And so automatic program trading was declared illegal. And then over the last presidential administration, when they were going through that whole deregulation, oh, the markets can take care of themselves. We've matured. We can trust the bankers and the investment houses not to do anything really, really bad, was the conventional wisdom. And along with repealing Glass-Steagall, the New York Stock Exchange said, well, we're going to allow certain favored, key, trusted investment houses to start using direct computer trading, high-frequency trading. And one of those, the bit largest of them, was Goldman Sachs. And we have been pointing out over the last week how this program trading is yielding these incredibly high profits for Goldman Sachs, for which they are returning nothing of any value to the market. They're simply using their computers to buy and sell stock when it fluctuates on just a few percentage points, just to grab a penny here and a penny there at extreme high rates of speed. And we pointed out how the simple buying and selling of the stock many times over at the exact same price is grinding up or churning up brokerage fees, which are charged to Goldman Sachs clients. And this is the secret of their magical $100 million a day in earnings coming out of needing all this bailout money from the taxpayers. And all of a sudden they're profitable again, and people are beginning to understand their profitability is based on simply gaming the system with these computers. Now, because it has become an issue here on the blogosphere and the alternative media, we are seeing the corporate media starting to pay attention to this issue, because they recognize that simply squeezing the stock market for $100 million a day and not putting anything of any value back into it to compensate is going to ultimately crash the market second time, just like the 1980s. Also, this story about how Goldman Sachs is able to see other people's bids on stock before they're committed and then adjust their own sale prices in response to it, that comes across to a lot of people as just flat-out cheating. And the fact that Goldman Sachs is allowed to do this is showing rank favoritism for that one group of individuals to the detriment of everybody else in the playing field. So Wall Street has a problem, because the corporate media is now starting to bring this to the attention of the ordinary American citizen and taxpayer, and they're sharp enough to recognize this isn't investing, this isn't prudent investment in our society and our industrial productivity. This is gaming the system. This is cheating. This is gambling with loaded dice. All right, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Sean in Minnesota. Aloha, Sean. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, aloha to you, Mike. I've got one idea for how we could tackle this problem of the debt-based money system that is plaguing not only America, but all of humanity worldwide, since most Western countries are on a debt money system. But we could start here in America by having American citizens, whenever April 15th comes around, don't send in a penny to the IRS. And here's why. And what I'm saying is documented. You can check this out. None of the money that the IRS collects actually goes to the services that the federal government provides. The IRS is basically a collection agency for the central banking cartel.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. Now, the problem with the tax boycott, in theory, it's really good. And if all 300 million Americans decided to stop paying taxes at the same time, that would be effective. The problem is, if you're the only one boycotting and everybody else around you is too much of a sheep to stand up to the government, then you're going to have a lot of very unpleasant attention come down on your head. Because, you know, the IRS, for all this talk about forgiveness and working out a deal and all these tax resolution companies, they're going after anybody they think they can make an example out of. You know, think of them as Sheriff of Nottingham's thugs. That's kind of where we are. Sean, we got to take a break. We're going to let you go here. When we come back, we'll be talking with Sam in Switzerland. This is the What Really Happened radio show. I'm your host, Mike Rivero, and we will be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going right back to the phones here. Sam in Switzerland. Aloha, Sam. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Mike. How's it going there? Every time I call your show, I want to, you know, call in at the right time so you start me with the Michael Hart song, you know, for Gaza.
We run them in rotation. You can't predict where it's going to be. I'm sorry.
Summer. That's it, right. You mentioned the summer vacation is about to almost finish there or halfway. Well, I was in the car driving to the airport earlier today, and they were just mentioning how the summer vacation for elementary school had just started this Friday as today. But that wasn't really what I called you for. I picked up a book. Oh, by the way, I also went to Hawaii 2-3 weeks ago to renew my driver's license. Went to the DMV place there next close to the Costco. You know where it's at.
Yes.
And it's weird. You walk into that place, and it's like you're taken back in time, man. It's like back to the 70s, you know, file cabinets, papers, you know, two old computers. It's amazing.
And
it's real funny because, you know, you get back to Europe here, and then, you know, you go and redo your driver's license over here, and, you know, it's done in a snap. And but that wasn't what I called you for. The thing I called you for was the book I'm reading. I'm reading a book by a writer. The writer is Dominic Moisey. Have you heard of this guy? And the name
no,
of the book is Geopolitics of Emotion. The thing was this. When I was in Hawaii, I actually went to 3 bookstores, Ala Moana. I went to the Borders there. I couldn't find it. It's available in English, but they had it. The Borders said that they could order it for me. You know, that wasn't good. Because it was going to pick it up and wanted you to get the book because it's actually quite an interesting read. The guy talks about basically the culture of fear, humiliation, and the culture of hope. And, you know, he places Europe and America currently in the culture of fear. And then the Middle East is obviously, you know, in the culture of humiliation. And then he looks at Asia and, you know, sees there the culture of hope. And I don't necessarily agree with everything that's in the book, but I think it's a good read.
It sounds like it, and I'll definitely I'll make a point of trying to get hold of a copy of it. One of the problems that we do have in Hawaii, because we are out here in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and we are, you know, we have a very small population compared to other urban centers, and so our local stores don't always have the selection of product that you would find on any of the mainland cities here, simply because of the cost of transportation and the fact that stores are trying to save money by economy of scale. They get a better price break buying a lot of copies of a very few items than trying to have a very few copies of many different items. And I'm familiar with the Borders. They actually carry my wife's first album in their racks in the CD music section there. Plug, 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 plug. But yeah, it is an issue here, certainly in the realm of like specialty electronics that I'll need for my day job. I have to pretty much order almost everything I'm using over the internet and have it shipped in. There's really only one pro electronics store on this entire island, and even they are having to cut their stock back because of the recession, depression, whatever you want to call it.
You know, right. You know, this is the thing. You show up there once in a while, like I do, you know, every 8-9 months, you really notice the decline. You know, I think if you're living there, you seem to be picking up on things, you know, quite well.
Yeah.
But I talk to people, and they, you know, they don't notice, and then I point it out to them, you know, hey, wasn't there a store there? Hey, what happened to that place? You know, what happened to exit base? Things like that. And they go, oh, yeah, it's gone. Yeah, oh, okay. And then, you know, once you start asking them like that, you know, what happened here, what happened there, then they realize it. But, you know, off the bat, I don't even think they're that much onto it.
Well, I think most people really are. They're trying not to pay attention to it because they're trying to stay positive and hopeful. And you know, the TV is constantly telling them, you know, we've hit the bottom, we're coming back, and everything's going to be fine, and so forth and so on. But I do think that when they're actually pressed on it, I think most people here in Hawaii are pretty sharp and pretty aware of what's going on. They'd rather not have to look at it, because if they lose that sense of hope, they realize they're trapped on this island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And one of the reasons we are evolving such a terrible homeless problem here in Hawaii is because people who lose their jobs will stay here hoping they'll get another job until they don't have the money to leave anymore. And that's when they really get in trouble. It's sort of our tropical Pacific version on the old joke up in Alaska, what's a sourdough? Well, it's somebody who's sour on Alaska, but they don't have the dough to leave. And we kind of have that same phenomenon here in Hawaii. I don't have a catchy name for it yet. But we have a lot of people where they wait too long for a job to materialize, right. And it doesn't. Our unemployment is terrible here, and things are still continuing to get worse. And then they're stuck, and they sell everything they got, or they have to throw it out, and they lose their home, and that's it. On the other hand, if you're going to be homeless, Hawaii's a nice place to be homeless in.
Yeah, at least, you know, I don't expect the Zionist body snatchers to operate in Hawaii. I think you're relatively safe over there. And the way they seem to be doing it closer to Jersey.
Yeah.
I was by that story yesterday, my friend. I mean, seriously. You know, here's the thing with this show. I shouldn't say that. Sorry. I meant,
you know,
forego democracy, and I think we should just force people to listen to this radio show. It's an hour every day, but if people would, my God, it would make a difference in the world like you wouldn't.
I appreciate the sentiment. I have a problem with the idea of forcing them to listen to this show, because I would have to oppose that, simply because if we have to force them to listen to the show, they're going to hate it anyway, and what's the point on that? The people who listen to the show do so.
I listen to this.
Oh, well, gee,
it.
Well, thank you.
For over a year.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate it. Anyway, I appreciate the sentiment. I really do. And our audience continues to grow. Our readership of the website continues to grow. It's slow but sure, but it's very, very steady. We're seeing the corporate media start to react. I mean, AP is going to start trying to charge us for all the stories of theirs that we might refer to or link to. So, you know, we're just not going to link to their stories anymore and let them understand that, you know, the blogs have been driving a lot of traffic their way. And, you know, I think they've hoisted with their own petard on that one. But the bottom line is the world has changed, and governmental systems and the corporate media are a little late picking up on that. And that's kind of a good sign in some ways. The other is there is a large contingent in our government that is still convinced that they can lie and propagandize the American people into believing that a war on Iran is just and necessary and God wills it and all this other stuff. And we're looking at a very real possibility of a new global war, a World War III, and the other side really do have nuclear weapons and the missiles to deliver them. And the purpose of this radio show, the purpose of the website, we are out to prevent World War III. And that's it. That's the whole point of the exercise right now, for which I need all of your help, by the way, I might add. And so, we're trying to put out information. We have to call into question the credibility of the U.S. government and the corporate media, simply because we've caught them lying so many times. They don't like it. They rule with lies and deception, or they sell their products with lies and deception, but they just can't do that anymore. It won't work. The world is changing. They have to evolve to deal with the new reality. Sam, we're going to let you go here for some commercial breaks, and thank you very much for the phone call. I will look up that book, The Geopolitics of Emotion, and we'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk Reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious-tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today. 1-800-210-1922. With Choose for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha.
Call right now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
I keep doing that. I step all over Mr. Announcer Guy here. And, yes, the phone lines are open, 800-259-9231. And getting back to the news here, as one of our previous callers mentioned, we've got this huge story going on here in the United States, except today, to look at the TV networks and the websites of the major corporate media, not to mention the newspapers, this story is already vanishing. And I'm talking about this huge corruption probe. There have been at least 44 arrests, more to come. They've nailed a couple of mayors. Member of the governor of New Jersey's cabinet had to step down. Huge money laundering rings, tens of millions of dollars. And yet, because this story is offensive to a certain segment of the population, it's already being minimized. Do you remember how long the corporate media went on when Michael Jackson died? I mean, this is a story that doesn't really affect any of us. Rock musician dead of a drug overdose. It's not exactly headline-making news. It happens, tragically, all too often. Going back, Janis Joplin, you know, and, you know, all these other people. Jimi Hendrix, whatever. I mean, it's something that happens fairly regularly. And yet, Michael Jackson, they went on and on and on, and special custom graphics and a tour of the house where the... And it was just nonsense. It went totally overboard. Here we have a story which is opening up to the eyes of America the extent of corruption in their government, which feasts on their tax money. And already it's being soft-pedaled and downplayed. Now, we are seeing all over the blogosphere and in our email boxes. You remember just a week ago, we were talking about how Israel is literally recruiting paid propagandists to go around the net and post positive things about Israel. And that, I predicted, was going to backfire, because now that we know that this is being done, we simply presume that anybody who is saying anything positive about Israel is a paid propagandist, and we can just basically ignore them at this point. And true to form, they are all over the net. They're going to every website that is reporting on this story about the rabbis tied up in this money laundering ring and the black market organ trafficking. And they're posting, it's an anti-Semitic plot, the rabbis are innocent, it's just, you know, those darned Muslims and those Jew haters, and they've concocted this whole thing, and the FBI are a bunch of anti-Semites and have been ever since J. Edgar Hoover was in a... And they're just going on and on to try and crush this thing down, as we have seen them do over and over and over again. When Rachel Corrie was killed, before the photo surfaced showing her actual dead body under the, with the bulldozer in the background, they were claiming that was an anti-Semitic plot. Going back to the Levant affair, when one of the bombs that were being used against Americans and British in Egypt detonated prematurely, and they caught one of the actual bombers, and he turned out to be an Israeli agent. They were all, you know, the Israeli assets were screaming that was an anti-Semitic plot. It seems to be about pretty much their only response to these things, and they're all over the place on this thing. Now, here's the part of the story, though, that is really starting to get interesting, and I said yesterday we need to look at this. First of all, this one guy that they've already charged in the organ trafficking operation. And originally they were saying, well, it was a single kidney was basically this, the source of this charge. Now we're finding out this guy has been brokering black market organs for 10 years. I think a little more than one kidney is involved. They're hemming and hawing and saying basically that he was getting the transplantable organs from people in Israel who were economically disadvantaged. Now, the only people I know who are living in Israel who are economically disadvantaged are the Palestinians. And we have documented many cases where the IDF will kill these young Palestinians and their organs are being harvested before the bodies are returned to the families. And so I'm starting to wonder if some of these Palestinian organs that are involuntarily donated are what this guy has been brokering to the very wealthy people of the United States of America over the last 10 years. And we need to find out. We need to find out. Or worse, are they harvesting organs from some of these homeless people that Wayne Madsen is now reporting are going missing from our big cities? This is an ugly story, and it should be investigated. And the same media that saturated you for a solid week with Michael Jackson is turning their backs on this story already, because AIPAC is on the phones and saying, oh, you can't do this. It'll just give the anti-Semites an excuse to say, ooh, bad rabbis, and so forth and so on. Meanwhile, over at the Jerusalem's Hebrew University, a bunch of computer whiz kids have come up a way to basically, I don't know if you'd call it hijacking or not, but they're basically taking control of Facebook's status line so that they can post this continuing stream of pro-Israel messages. When people log into Facebook and the status line comes up, it's going to say, Israel is wonderful and their effluents are not odoriferous, or whatever else they're going to say. Now, if I wanted to listen to pro-Israeli propaganda, I'd log into any of the websites that Israel puts up there. But I think it is inappropriate for Israel to be forcing itself onto other people's Facebook pages to serve their propaganda needs. And more than that, it betrays a certain arrogance in that they seem to view the internet and everything on it as their personal little playgrounds to commandeer for propaganda purposes anytime they feel like it. And I think it's, that is also a very, very interesting revelation into their character here. So, anyway, moving right along here, and again, since we're talking about Israel anyway, the U.S. State Department has stressed again today that President Obama is not considering at all any economic sanctions on Israel for defying the U.S. request to stop building settlements in the illegally occupied Palestinian lands. Israel's just told the U.S., go jump in the lake. By the way, Israel just said the same thing to France. France called in the Israeli envoy and said, look, this is creating a huge problem. And Israel said, go jump in the lake, or go jump in the Seine, or whatever it is the Israelis say to the French. And so basically we have the government of Netanyahu is basically spitting in the face of every other nation. And here we have, after being thus humiliated, our president is saying, no, we won't do sanctions. We're not considering it. We're not, concerned with what other nations are saying about Israel. And basically proving that, yes, in fact, the Israel lobby does control the U.S. government. Because I can't imagine any other nation on earth being that blatant in terms of defying a request from the U.S. government, especially on the heels of all the money that we are forced to pay to Israel. I can't imagine any other government in that same situation openly defying the United States and there not being some kind of circumstances. I mean, the U.S. imposed sanctions on Iraq just on the suspicion there might be weapons of mass destruction. Turned out there weren't any. The U.S. is putting sanctions on Iran on the suspicion that somewhere down the road Iran might want to think maybe about kind of planning to prepare to make ready to build a nuclear weapon. Which we don't even know they're doing that. The U.S. is throwing sanctions all over the planet except Israel. Israel can spit in our country's face while still sucking on us for tax money and weapons, like the F-22. Going to get to that in a minute. And Obama will do nothing. Now, for this and so many other reasons, checking with the Rasmussen Daily Report, Obama's presidential approval numbers continue to decline. He lost another point in the last 24 hours. People have lost faith in them. The honeymoon is over. There was one thing on his press conference the other night about the health care plan. He said one thing I agreed with. We, the American people, don't trust the government, and with good cause. And the poll numbers show it. Less than 25% of Americans now think the economic stimulus had any positive effect on the economy at all. 3/4 of Americans think it was just a looting of the American people to make the people at Wall Street rich. So it's starting to catch up with him, and people are getting very, very angry. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll be back with the last segment of our show today after these words from our sponsors.
GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Last segment. Phone lines are open, 800-259-9231, if you want to hop in for a few last minutes here. Meanwhile, speaking of computers and Israel, this is kind of cute. Somebody has set up this little tweet channel where you can type in a message, and they will print it out, fold it up, and stick it into a crack in the Western Wall, in the Temple Mountain, where everybody goes to pray. Now, on one hand, it seems to cheapen the experience. If I wanted to go put prayers in the wall, I would feel obligated to kind of actually go there myself. But still, it's the other side of the world here. And so I went to the little to Twitter, and I sent a little message, and I said, end all the wars, and bring peace to the Middle East. And the most amazing thing happened, because I got this very strong feeling that I was talking to a wall. Now, anyway, moving right along here, I'm getting some complaints from some of our readers and listeners who listen to the radio show over the Internet, which I think is probably most of them. And apparently, SBC, the Internet service provider, is blocking our show and our webpage in certain locations. I'm still trying to track down exactly what's going on, but I'm getting a lot of complaints about that, so we're going to have to look into it. You know, it's getting ugly here. Anyway, moving right along here, I want to get back to this situation with Russia. This is getting very, very dicey, because Russia is now saying it will take concrete steps over any U.S. attempt to rearm Georgia. A couple of days ago, the U.S. was saying, we're going to give Georgia replacement weapons for all the ones that got blown up during that little kerfuffle with Saakashvili a little while ago. And as I've explained before, I think the real agenda, the reason the U.S. and Israel have been providing material and training to the Georgian troops, was to try and create a prolonged border conflict across that little isthmus between the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea to forestall Russia being able to intervene by that route in Iran. And I truly believe that's still the game plan. The same thing also applies to Pakistan. Russia, I think, has decided that they've played Neville Chamberlain long enough. They've just sat there quietly and watched while the U.S. was doing what it was doing across the Mideast. But I think Russia has realized that they really cannot protect their own strategic interests any longer by doing nothing. And I'm very, very concerned, and you should be as well, that if the U.S. persists in an attack on Iran, that we are going to find ourselves at war with Russia. I don't want to be at war with Russia. I want to visit the Hermitage Museum, for one thing, and the Amber Room and all those wonderful things. And if we're at war, it really makes tourism very difficult to do. Meanwhile, we're getting more of this information that, overall, I think the wars that we've already got, Iraq and Afghanistan, they're not going well at all. They really aren't, especially Afghanistan. We had no business going in there. Nobody has succeeded in conquering and holding Afghanistan since Alexander the Great, and he only kept it for 3 years. The Soviet Union couldn't do it. We're not doing it. Now we're hearing that 52% of U.S. soldiers wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan are coming home with traumatic brain injuries. This is, we're talking permanent mental impairment from the injuries that they are suffering. This is a horrible price for our children to be paying for wars with no clear objective anybody can tell us. We know we were told that Iraq was all about Saddam's nuclear bombs, but they don't exist. Then we were told it was because Iraq aided in 9/11, and we found out that was a lie. Then we were being told that Iraq was supporting Al-Qaeda. That turned out to be based on a single confession extracted under torture. There are a lot of people who think that we invaded Iraq to steal their oil, but we're not getting a lot of oil out of Iraq, and certainly to look at the gas pump prices in our country, that obviously has not worked out. This war is a failure, politically, publicly. We can't achieve victory in Iraq because every stated objective is a lie. So why are we still there? Why are we still in Afghanistan? Why are we still spending our money and the blood of our children mucking about the Middle East, whooping on people that Israel doesn't like? If Israel doesn't like these countries, let them go deal with it. We need to be taking care of the United States of America. I know it is pointless to try and say that we should convince Israel to live in peace with its neighbors. It's not Israel's nature. And right now, our country is in serious trouble. And I'm afraid that Israel and the other nations of the Middle East are going to have to sort out their problems themselves. We need to bring America's money and America's children back home because America is in far worse trouble and far worse shape than Israel right now. And I don't understand what strange hold the government of Israel has over our government, that our government so willingly and eagerly sacrifices so much blood and treasure helping Israel kill Jesus' extended family. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. All right, moving right along here, we're almost out of time for today. Joe Biden is out there saying more troops will die in Afghanistan. Okay, Joe, is your family over there, are they in uniform, are they packing guns, are they on the front lines, not stuck in some little safe rear echelon job? I think after the U.S. government collapses and we start forming a whole new country, I think we ought to write it right into the Constitution that every member of Congress, before they're allowed to vote in favor of a war, their own children must be on those front lines, right up there at the tip of the spear. That's where they have to be. Stalin did that. In the war against Germany, Stalin put his own kids on the front lines. He lost, I don't remember if it was one or two of them. I'm a little fuzzy on Russian history here. But it was that sacrifice that made the Russian people so supportive of Stalin, even when he turned out to be a real jerk later on. But definitely, one of the problems we have with our country, in past times, leaders led their countries into war. George Washington led his troops. He was right there on the front line. Napoleon, same thing. He was at the front of his own troops, whatever he did. That's a leader. In our country, our leaders sit in these computerized multimedia centers in Washington, D.C., and send other people out to die. So, of course, they have no reluctance to get into war. It doesn't cost them anything. They get all the medals and the statues and the brass and the ribbons and all this fancy dress-up stuff, and they get to feel good about themselves. Look how butch I am. I'm out there conquering people. But they're not out there in the field. George Bush showed up one time out of, what, 2 years, holding a plastic turkey for the photo ops, and as soon as the camera shutters were done, got on the plane, headed right back to the safety of Washington, D.C. That's not a leader. That's a politician. Alrighty, moving right along here. We were talking before about how Israel is trying to impose itself all over the internet. Apparently, they are lobbying in Great Britain right now for a new series of laws that would, in effect, criminalize any criticism of Israel. Anything at all. It would be absolutely illegal to say anything negative about Israel. So much for freedom of speech. And they want to bring it here to the United States. Now, the First Amendment the protection for freedom of speech. It's not about exotic dancers. It's not about canvases in art galleries with bovine fecal matter glued to it. The specific speech that the founders of this country had in mind when they wrote the First Amendment was political speech, and of a necessity it is going to be critical of government institutions. That was what the Founding Fathers guaranteed to us. Israel seeks to overturn the Constitution. They are not democratic at all. Meanwhile, a Jewish group is apparently trying to shut down Germany's version of Amazon because they're selling books that Israel does not approve of. That's it for our show today. We're going to be back tomorrow at, no, actually tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. for our end of the weekend wrap-up. 11 a.m. here on the Genesis Communication Network. So tune in, be ready with your phone calls and your news. And until tomorrow, aloha, America.